You're listening to WWBC Coco Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco Rockledge and W264AS Rockledge Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with
for
today's
them,
message
it says, would they
is
not
Pastor
have
Ralph.
Ceased to be offered. It says, in fact, I'm going to read verse 1 of chapter 10 again. It says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices, it says, which they offer year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshiper, once purged, should have no more conscience of sin. And listen, if I sin, I need my sin to be forgiven once and for all. And if I confess to Deacon Frank, he might tell me, oh, that's not that bad, Brother Ralph, you okay? But man, I walk away and I'm like, you know what, I'm not feeling okay. Because I went to a man, and I didn't go to the God-man, Christ Jesus, who's the only one that can forgive my sin. And listen, it stays on my conscience because it's there. God has not taken it away. He goes to verse 3. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. And so once a year, the Day of Atonement, they would go, and the high priest would offer your sins. You would tell them what the sins were, and over and over. And not to mention, you're bringing new stuff to him, and that old stuff really hadn't been dealt with either. So you're still feeling a little bad about that as well, because it wasn't cleansed. It was not forgiven. And he's talking about our conscience, man, that holds on to different and various things that we do, in particular sinful things that we do. He says in verse 3, but in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is impossible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. And again, he's making it plain, it could not take away the sin. It says, wherefore, when he cometh, it says, into the world, he saith, and we know he's talking about Christ, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And for the next couple of verses, he's actually quoting out of Psalm chapter 40, verse 6 through 8. And listen, that's Christ talking about that God has prepared him as the body that would lay on the cross and take away the sins of the world. He had prepared him for that issue. And Christ freely took care of that issue and didn't grumble or mumble. We read in verse 6, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. And in reality, even though it was part of the law and God wrote the law, it's still, he knew that the sin was still an issue. He knew that they were going to go through the rituals. But there's one problem with sin, man, and we shared this before, that it will tell you where you're wrong over and over. Speed limit, 70 miles an hour. Wet paint, do not touch. Keep off the grass. And the law will tell us this and tell us that. And the kicker is, and he doesn't say it here, but we've seen it before, that the moment you hear the law say do not, then all of a sudden your flesh nature gets activated. And if you see that paint and it says wet paint, you chopping at the bit to touch that paint. Because the law tells you what you should not do, but it has no power to keep you from not doing the very thing that the law tells you not to do. He says in burnt offerings, verse 6, and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written, it says, of me, to do thy will, O God. And again, Christ speaking, still coming out of Psalm 40, he goes on, above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadest pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. In other words, yes, God instituted the law, but he knew it was simply a temporary covering. It was a shadow of the real thing. And there's a game show that used to come on, and they would ask questions, and then they would say, is that your final answer? Guys, the law was not Christ, was not God's final answer. Jesus Christ was his final answer. It was simply a covering. It was simply a type. It was simply a shadow of what was to come. And verse 9 said, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. In other words, and look, we know eventually the temple was gone. It was no more sacrifices. And look, the Hebrew writer is telling these guys that thing's been done away. And look, it's not that the law is bad. It's a good thing. But the kicker is this. Only one is kept it, and that's the one that paid for our sins, who died for our sins, and that was Jesus Christ. But it had gotten so good to these folk that it became almost a ritual thing. God has given us the law, and we have the law. And then Christ comes along, and they're, oh no, we don't want him. We want the law, because we want to keep the rituals. And man, there were so many intricacies in regard to keeping the law. Even when they were wandering in the desert, man, they would put this tabernacle up, a portable tabernacle. They had to tear it down, and it was all specific things had to be set up, and they just wanted to keep doing that as opposed to looking at Jesus, who's the author and the finisher, not only of their faith, but ours as well. And sometimes I'm talking to folk about Christ, and when I tell them about Jesus, and they say, is this that simple? Yeah, it is. Because they're looking to do something. They're looking to have some gyrations. I got to do something. I got to send some money, or I got to do this, or I got to do that. Man, all you got to do as he touches your heart is believe on his son. And that's it. And man, we're in a society now where of course, nothing is free. But I got to tell you something, man. What God has done for us through Jesus Christ, it didn't cost me a dime. And even right now, man, I feel free in Christ to be able to freely worship him in spirit and in truth. And I feel free enough to be able to tell folk, even people I don't even know, about Jesus Christ, man. And he gives me that boldness. And look, the law could not do that. The letter of the law could not do that. But he has given me his spirit. And hallelujah, watch out. Because I got to do what God told me to do. And listen, I can't fear no man. And what he's telling them, you don't have to fear no man, because you're in league with the Lord. Amen. He says in verse 10, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. And the verse says, once and for all. In other words, his work has set us apart for the use of God. Where before I was set apart for the use of Satan, I was doing everything I was big enough and bad enough to do, and I wasn't worried about no man then. I was concerned, but I wasn't worried about nothing. I was doing what I wanted to do. And look, along comes Jesus Christ, and he shows me the error of my ways and lets me know, look, as bad as you think you are, you ain't that bad. And if you keep going the way you're going, you're going to end up in hell. And that I did not want. And I said, God, there's got to be a way I can get out of this thing. Maybe I can give money to the church. Maybe I can go knock on doors. Maybe I can feed the poor. Maybe I can go help for old folk. And I say that jokingly, because now I'm one of the old folk. And God said, no, all you got to do is trust in the finished works of my son, Jesus Christ. And guess what? He touched my heart and spoke to my heart in such a way I believed him. And I trusted in him, and I was blessed by him, and then saved by him. And this little guy that comes from the streets of North Philadelphia, that was only about evil and bad. In fact, the guy that really I was introverted, didn't want to really talk to nobody. And God gave me his spirit, and now I can't be shut up because of the spirit that lives inside of me. And I thank that. I thank God for that. And I owe that only to the Lord. And that's what the Hebrew writer is trying to get them to see, man. Y'all going through all these gyrations. You're doing this and doing that. And Christ has been here all along trying to speak to your heart. He says in verse 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, and we know he's talking about the Christ man Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, it says forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And man, I'm recognizing that the only reason that you sit down is because you're finished. And in fact, he said in the Gospel of John, when it was all over and he was ready to die, he said, it is finished. Nothing else to add, no other works to do, nothing else a need to be done, because the work has been done by God's only begotten Son, and you don't have to worry about trying to add nothing to it or taking anything away, because it is complete. And we are complete in him. And guys, that ought to be a blessing to our heart. It really should be. Because sometimes you feel like you should be have more, or you should be doing more. And look, if you're doing or being obedient to what God has called you to do, you're going to be okay. And listen, if you're making plans apart from God, and all of a sudden he changes the way he wants you to go, if he says, no, you are planning on going here, you need to shut that down, because I need you to go here. And listen, so we need to go the way he says to go. And when we're messing around and sometimes we fall back in sin, God says that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when he touches our heart in regard to our sin, we don't keep carrying on in sin. We go the way that God has told us to go. He says in verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, it says forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. And we know at the end of human history, that's going to happen. And listen, this is guaranteed at the fact that Christ died for your sins. In verse 14, he said, for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. And again, set apart for God's use. I was you being used by Satan. Now I'm being used by God. And he did that. In all my life, all my unsaved life, I was trying to figure out how could I get right. Because I knew I wasn't right. I knew I had to stop my drinking. I knew I had to stop my drugging. I knew I had to stop my womanizing. But man, I would stop one thing and something else would pick up. And then I would stop that thing and that other thing would pick up. And then along comes Jesus Christ, the same God he's talking about here. And he blessed me with his spirit. And I realized that Brother Ralph ain't no fool. That God has blessed me with his power. And guys, the only reason that anybody who is a believer enters the sin zone anymore is not because they have to, it's because they want to. Because he has broken the power of sin over your life. Amen? I hear a lot, man. Folks will say, I can't, Pastor, I can't stop. Or Pastor, I want to stop, but I can't stop. And I say, well, no, you can't. But man, through Christ, you can do it through him. Stop trying in your own efforts. You're going to fail every time. But let go and give it to God and let him do it through you. And before you know it, you're picking up one foot and you're picking up the next foot. And before you know it, you're walking for Christ. And it won't be just what you're saying. It'll be what you're doing. Because you realize that I really do belong to him. Amen. He says in verse 13, from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. It says, for by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof it says the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will, look what he says. put my laws in their hearts and in their minds and will write them. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to etch it on them. Look, before the Israelites would get together and from generation to generation, they would practice what God had said from the law. And in fact, Deuteronomy talks about gather the children together so that they can learn, and they would tell them about the history of Israel, about Moses. They would tell them about Abraham. He said, but now, when my spirit comes, you're not going to have to rehearse that. I'm going to etch that in your heart so that you will know it eternally. And he has left us 66 books to dive in each and every day so that we can even enhance what he's taught us already. That osmosis theory that I used to think about, never tried it, where you put the Bible under your pillow, and while you're sleeping, it just kind of goes up into your head. It doesn't really work. You got to get into this book. You got to learn of him. You got to learn what God has to say about you and about me and about Israel and about Moses and about Abraham. You got to learn it. And he's saying that once you learn it, it'll be there. The Holy Spirit will make sure you understand it. He's the true teacher. And in time of trouble, he'll regurgitate that thing back up and he'll bring it to mind and to mouth. And whereas you didn't think you knew that, you'll say it. And you'll say, I didn't know I knew that. But if he got it in there, the Holy Spirit will bring it back to memory. He says in verse 16, this is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart, and in their minds I will write them. And their sin and iniquity will I remember no more. Now, it says, verse 18, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. And what he's saying is that no more need for the animals, no more need for the earthly high priest, no more need for any of that, because Christ has made all that right and has set the captives free. In verse 19, it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. In verse 20, he says, by a new and living way. In other words, no more dead animals, but Christ, who died but rose and is alive evermore. He says, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. And he's talking about the veil where the Holy of Holies, where the high priest would go in. That is to say, his flesh. And again, no more through the veil on earth, but now we get to God through Jesus Christ and he alone. Amen. Guys, if you would mark that page or put your bulletin in that page. And I want you to go with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. And that should be, if you're using a Pew Bible, page 859. We're going to the Gospel of Matthew. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Chapter 27, and we're going to begin our reading at verse 45. The Gospel of Matthew, page 859, if you're using a Pew Bible. Chapter 7, beginning our reading at verse 45. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you're there, please say amen. And we read here, and we've of course seen this year already, but we're seeing it again afresh. It says in verse 45, now from the sixth hour there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. So he's talking about from noon till about 3 p.m. Their day would start about 6 a.m. And they're saying that, and we know Christ is on the cross. He's getting ready really to pay for our sins. And verse 46 says, in about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And look, what we know is that the Father can deal with no kind of sin, period, which is why he sent the Son to pay for the sin, and the Son is getting ready to pay for the sin. And for the first time from eternity past up until this time, the Father separating himself from the Son so that the Son can pay for the sins. And look, he's been beaten, he's been slapped, he's been whipped, he's been towed down, he's not been fed, he's hanging on a cross, and every time he's got to take a breath, he's got to push up on those feet that are nailed to the cross and then drop back down just to get a little bit of air to live a few more minutes. And Christ is going through all that. But the worst thing that he had to go through is when the Father separated from him, which is why he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the pain of that was worse than any earthly pain that Jesus could ever go through. Verse 47 says, some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And again, they're not understanding the verbiage that he spoke, because he spoke it in Hebrew and he spoke it in Aramaic. In verse 46 and 48, it says, and straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a rod and gave him to drink. Now we know earlier they tried to give him some vinegar and said it was mixed with gall. And we know gall was some type of plant that act as an anesthetic, that they would give some that were crucified, and Christ would not drink that one because he didn't want the senses dulled. Whatever they were going to do, he wanted to go through it full force and realize it full force. But this he did drink. Verse 49 said, the rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come and save him. And they're still mocking him. And guys, this is the kicker. They're mocking him. They put him on the cross. But he's dying for their sins as well. And they don't have a clue. Verse 50 says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, it says, yielded up the ghost. And we know John 19 and 30 said, it is finished. Meaning that whatever he had to do on earth to pay for the sins, that this thing was over. He goes on, verse 51. And behold, look, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. In other words, man, this temple, this thing probably was about a foot thick. It was standing hard, tall, and they would have to get on two ladders to get up there, number one. Number two, no man could have ripped that thing, but it was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And what it was symbolizing is that entrance into the Holy of Holies was no longer through that veil, but through Jesus Christ and him alone. They tore it. It was open, and no more high priest, earthly high priest, would dare go in there. Though Josephus, the Jewish historian, said they did try to repair that thing, but Christ tore it, or the power of God tore it from top to bottom, symbolizing the entrance to the Holy of Holies is now only through Christ. Verse 52 says, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. So there were believers that died, and they got up, and it says, and came out of the grave after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. And guys, again, a shadow or a precursor or a type of the resurrection that believers will go through after they die. And it was just symbolizing what was going to happen. And these guys were shown up dead. And when Christ got up, they got up as well. And verse 54 says, now, when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, it says they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And I dare say, man, they feared greatly. It was afraid fear for these unbelievers, but it was also reverential fear for those who knew who God and Christ was, because they recognized that the only way these folk could get up out of the grave who were dead, the only way that curtain could tear, The only way all these cataclysmic things could happen, it could not happen by the power of man, but it happened by the power of God. And let me add this. We still serve the same God. And with all of this that we see going on in our world right now, God is still in control of all things. And if he says so, we're going to see some cataclysmic things happen in our world as well. Guys, sin is encroaching at an alarming rate. And we're seeing wickedness in high places, in political high places. We're seeing wickedness here in our land, wickedness in our world. And listen, it's not regular wickedness. It's wickedness that we have never seen before. In fact, much of it, we look out and we say, man, what's going on? I didn't realize it could be this rough, but it is this rough. And we have folk who we thought had halfway good sense, and they're saying that right is wrong and wrong is right, and they're trying to sell us a bill of good that persons or men or women can be whatever they want to be as long as they say it, and you best call them by that. And I submit that this same power that pulled down that curtain and rose them folk from the grave is the same power that's going to call God's church up out of here soon and very soon. And it's the same power that's still in charge of all things and one day is going to prove to sinful man that he is. God's not done. I thank God that he said that for his children, he'll never leave us nor forsake us, that he will provide for us according to his riches and glory. So we don't have to worry, but please get ready. Get closer to Jesus. Because I submit that we have not seen nothing yet in regard to the wickedness of sinful man. Pray, guys. Pray one for another. Pray for our leadership. Pray for our world and pray for our country. But ultimately, what we want of all of them is for them to come to faith in Christ, because that's the only saving grace. Because without Christ, this world and all the folk in it are doomed. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this time of study, for this time in which we can look into your book of truth. And Father God, we're not making this up. You're giving it to us from your book. And Father God, even giving us understanding in our heart, Father God, by your Spirit. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God, first for those that are on our prayer list, and even for the unspoken, Father God, that you'll touch and bless and heal and do what you also need to do. But Father, I speak also to those that are watching on video. Father God, those that are not here. And Father God, maybe some of them should have been here. I don't know, but you know. But I ask that you touch our hearts. And Father God, help us understand that we're living in a time when we need to be getting closer and closer to you. As this world crumbles, as sin is encroaching at an alarming rate, we need to be closer and closer to you, because we realize and recognize that you are the only fix for us and fix for the things of this world. Father, we thank you for illuminating us, for telling us, for saving us, for blessing us with your salvation. And we pray your salvation on all within the sound of my voice, and all who are watching on video, Lord, that you touch them and bless them. And if need be, Lord, trouble them and let them know that now is the time and that today is the day of salvation. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We say yes to your will and to your way as we pray in Jesus' name and for his namesake. And let his church say, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. You also can email them at New Beginnings Lamp, L-A-M-P, at gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.